KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead 88.1 FM. You are watching or listening to Finding Me. Welcome to Finding Me here at 88.1 FM KPPPLP Radio, where we are adding the local color to your airwaves, or at least here, the queer colors. Check me out on Facebook or YouTube at Duke1517. Follow and subscribe, like, comment, etc. And you can also find my stuff at kppfm.com/finding-me. You can leave me a 3-minute message at 701-566-0917. Hit up our Twitter at @media_ppp, at my Twitter at @NemoPotatoes, along with my Facebook and Instagram. And you can also hit those places with the hashtag Finding Me with any comments or questions. You can also email me at nemo@kppfm.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, at KPP Radio, The People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can at Mexican Online. So, I will continue to talk about She-Ra, the one show that I've repeatedly and vehemently detested before its release, and will continue to do so unless I have more references to work with, which I have since the first recordings that I did. I've read Nimona, and it didn't really do it for me. But that's another story. So, I'm still going to keep looking around, keep learning. I also learned about the original She-Ra. And there are some things that I like about it. And I haven't watched it, but I read the wiki, and I've also been listening to other fans' opinions, including other women who watched the original She-Ra. So I think that was important to have that perspective. And I believe the people that I checked out was MJ Tanner. I'll have to double check that, but you'll see the information in my blog post. So to continue on with the critique and summary, the thoughts that crossed my mind when I was watching episode 2. So for people following my thread of thoughts, this is probably part 3 of the 4-part miniseries of many episode analysis that I broke up into 2 parts each. So in episode 2, Adora has now realized her form has changed to that of a princess. She panics and accuses Glimmer of turning her into one. Glimmer's only concern is that Adora doesn't get her hands on the sword again, but considering that all 3 of them, including Bo, are dealing with a huge effing insect creature, they better focus on their tactical escape. It's at this time that they're being cornered in the forest, and they find an ancient First One's ruin, with unintelligible writing to those who've never been born on Etheria, and it's revealed in this tense moment that somehow Adora can read this form of writing, and finds out that they need a password to open it, and run this gamble to see if Glimmer can teleport all 3 of them inside the building. And Adora reads the word Eternia, and the door illuminates in the written areas to let them inside safely. Now, something that another YouTuber critiqued about this is that we have no frame of reference of what Eternia means in this context. And as far as I can remember, and I might just have to rewatch the second and third season or the rest of the first season to see if that's ever explained or redefined in some fashion of what Eternia is or means. But we march forward. Bo and Glimmer are curious if somehow the Horde soldiers are educated in reading First One's writing system, which hasn't been spoken for 1,000 years, and how is that possible? And Adora simply just read it. So, I mean, which is weird because she was an orphan, and so you would think she would have memory of being educated in a writing system, at least most people that I know are, unless Adora is supposed to be magical, I guess. So, Adora is lashing out at this point, and she's already disgusted with the idea that she possibly wanted this to happen. Like, how could you? And right now, connecting her with with a princess persona, she's like, I'm not one of those monsters. And then Glimmers, of course, is offended by this accusation of being a monster, because she already knows what the Horde's done to her and her people. And so she starts crying a little bit, and then she tries to calm down quickly, and Bo steps in like, hey, chill, let's not bite each other's heads off. And then she's just like, okay, whatever, we're going to bring her to Bright Moon, and then my mom will know what to do with her. So they start wandering the ruins a little bit, trying to figure out a way out and like get back home quickly as possible. And then while Bo and Adora chatted up, because Bo is still trying to like be your best buddy, I guess, they finally get each other's names properly. Glimmer, meanwhile, is looking at the sword and is just like, well, what if I could be the She-Ra? But it doesn't work, so she's disappointed. And when Bo asks her what she's doing, she's like, nothing, I'm gonna... Hey, look at this. So, like, they look at the ruins some more, and they see that they're in this much larger room up ahead. And then, because Adora doesn't really know what's going on, Bo helps to explain that the first ones were an ancient civilization that were the original people to settle the planet. And then they just, like, poof, disappeared. And I don't know about this origin story, and I think it bothered me because it just reminds me again of my indigenous history. And I don't know if this is just the origin story of many other fictional groups of people, but it just bothers me. It just reminds me of the Maya civilizations when they talked about, like, oh, they were there, super advanced, super cool. Boom, they were gone. But I digress. So the whole thing with these people is just like, ooh, nobody knows what happened to them. And Bo is just like, well, hang on a second. Doesn't the Horde tell you any of this? Like, does the Horde tell you anything? And she's like, I guess not. So then they finally open the room. They enter this large room that's up ahead. And it's super dark. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to light it up. And Bo kind of incidentally reveals that if she uses a lot of her, like, glimmer powers and stuff to light it up, it's going to use a lot of her energy, and she will have to recharge sooner rather than later. And Glimmer is like, why would you tell the Horde soldier that's right in front of us what my weakness is? And it's like, this is an excellent point. And, but Adora doesn't, like, you know, do much about it. I mean, she pokes fun, like, haha, you gotta recharge this, whatever. You're not frightening me anymore, even though earlier on she's been told that princesses are monsters and that she could easily swing with that. But they light it up anyway, and then you see the whole mural of She-Ra in her warrior form and such. And then since, I guess, Adora is just fluent in First One's writing system, she's like, okay, the inscription says She-Ra. And then, you know, it turns on the ruins, and I guess Light Hope is just this entity that pops up everywhere, because that's what the subtitles told me, even though this Light Hope is different than the other Light Hope that we earlier saw in Adora's visions and memories and dreams and such. So maybe there's just, like, different, like, Light Hope AI holograms. I don't know. I just don't know. Nothing is explained. So then they're like, hey, can you answer our questions? And the Light Hope doesn't, like, respond back at all. And it's just like, what is your query? What is your query? What is your query? And then Glimmer's just, like, touches it, which makes it freak out, and it activates the security system. So they have to, like, act quickly. But Glimmer doesn't trust Adora, so she doesn't, like, want to give up the sword just yet. And despite the fact that this is very dangerous, she decides to teleport all three of them as the building starts coming down on their heads. So she passes out, and in the middle of the sky, because, you know, that's where she ended up teleporting them. So then at this point, Glimmer is already feeling even more terrible about all this. And she's like, listen, you can tell that we're incompetent people, obviously. So why haven't you run away? Because obviously we're morons. And Adora, now, even though she has no identity and has been afraid of like being a princess, possibly of some sort, now she's like, well, I guess you're the one lead that I have in finding out why this is happening. And I'm like, all right, fair point. And if the Horde wasn't telling her anything before, they're definitely not going to tell her anything now what her origins were. And maybe they don't even know, or they care. They don't care. So then, let's see. Next, they are start making their way toward a town. So it's like, because Glimmer's now like really tired out, and she's only got a little bit of power left, but not enough to like do anything useful for major battles of any sort by any means. And they come upon this town where there is a celebration taking place. So then it's party time over there. But before that, Shadow Weaver is demanding Catra to tell her where Adora is. And Catra, this time around, whereas she might have totally been like, yeah, she's over here. I don't care. Now she doesn't know. She really doesn't know for sure where Adora actually is, which bothers her. And Shadow Weaver at first is like, BS, you totally know where she is because you hang out together all the time. And Cassius is just like, haha, man, I wish. I thought so too, but girl left. And Shadow Weaver eventually tracks her down in the same conversation and tells her, all right, well, anyway, even though you are incompetent, I'm going to send you out to get her. And if you do not get her, you will pay the consequences in her place. And Catra is definitely set up as some sort of abuse victim, which is really terrible for sure. Or, I don't know. It's really hard to say because it's really weird. Like, she's supposed to be set up like an abuse victim. And then also an abuser because she doesn't know that she could run away if she wanted to. And she is given multiple chances later in the series as it goes on, where Adora is like, hey, you could join me and you could stop being really mean to me. And then Catra's like, nah. So, but I'm digressing. So Catra, this is like, okay, fine, I'll go get her because I don't want to be punished by you. And that's all I've got for episode two analysis. I thank you for listening. And that's all I've got. Bye bye. Tonight's show was written and produced by Nemo Cicados. Finding Me is a project of KPPP LP 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead. KPPP LP is adding local color to your airwaves. You can find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM here in the Fargo Moorhead region. You can contact us at 701-566-0917 at media_PPP. Email me at nemo@kpppfm.com. Follow us on Facebook at KPPP Radio, the People's Press Project, and at Mexican Online. Donations to Fargo Moorhead's newest low-power commercial-free radio station can be made at our website on kppfm.com/donate. Tune in next week for more on Finding Me.